Today on Annenberg Radio News.
Right now, the reason there are no follow-up studies of long-term effects of egg donors is nobody knows who they are.
One woman pushes for a registry to track a link between egg donors and cancer. Good afternoon, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, April 8th, 2008. I'm Laura Weber. The parents of Jameel Shaw, a junior who made an emotional appearance today before Los Angeles City Council. Jameel Shaw was killed last month, just a few Jameel Shaw was killed last month just a few blocks from his Los Angeles home. The suspect is a reputed gang member who is in this county illegally. Sanaa Ali has more.
The family of Jameel Shaw appeared before the city council today to ask the council members to support Jameel's law. The proposed law would encourage law enforcement to aggressively pursue criminals who are in the country illegally. Jameel Shaw Sr. wept as he told the council how painful the loss of his son has been.
It hurts every day that we have to live like this.
Dozens of supporters gave public comment during the meeting, causing a heated debate and criticism of the city council. City Council President Gil Garcetti had to repeatedly ask for order so public comment could continue. The family said that they do not want people to misinterpret this law as being anti-Hispanic, but that the presence of violent illegal immigrants slipping through the system is dangerous and intolerable.
No matter how you look at it, you know, the guy was here illegally and he was let out, you know, of the county jail.
Immigration law expert Niels W. Frenzen says that he understands the community's anger and outrage at Shaw's murder. But laws that allow police to target immigrants are misguided.
I think people who are supporting this law are just not thinking it through clearly due to the emotion that's associated with tragedies like this.
Frenzen says that although Los Angeles is home to many illegal immigrants, they aren't the ones committing the crimes.
And what people have to keep in mind is we have undocumented immigrants in Los Angeles, of course. They are probably more likely to be victims of crimes than they are perpetrators of crimes.
Jameel's law conflicts with Special Order 40, which prohibits LA police from asking people about their immigration status. The order is meant to encourage illegal immigrants to report crime. Frenzen says that because immigrants are so vulnerable to crime, Jameel's law would increase their vulnerability. Sanaa Ali, Annenberg Radio News.
The city council today agreed to a trade-off that will bring two billboards to South Los Angeles in exchange for a park. A picnic area and walking trails will go in at 54th and San Pedro Streets. The 76-foot billboards will be near the 10 at San Pedro and 16th. Some residents in their communities oppose the billboards because they worry it will increase billboards in their neighborhoods. The L.A. County Board of Supervisors voted today to oppose state legislation that would dissolve the Coliseum Commission. Hannah Kim reports.
The Coliseum Commission is governed by a 9-member board which equally represents the city, county, and state governments. But the bill proposed by State Senator Mark Ridley Thomas would give the state majority control over the L.A. Coliseum and sports arena. Ridley Thomas says the commission has mismanaged the Coliseum and hindered its relationship with USC, the stadium's primary tenant. But L.A. County Supervisor and commission member Don Nabe says the commission works closely with the university.
USC is our protein. Let's get on with the refurbishment of the Coliseum. I mean, there's all kinds of opportunities, and we need to move on. We don't need to be taking time with pieces of legislation that have not been discussed with any party that's a player in this whole deal.
Commission members also say the bill is illegal because the state alone cannot dissolve a joint authority agreement. Assemblyman Chuck DeVore of Irvine has put forth another bill which calls for the sale of the Coliseum, possibly to USC.
At the end of the day, you would end up with the sale of the facilities, obviously with some strings attached. The common wisdom is that USC would probably be the entity that would pick up ownership of the Coliseum.
DeVore's bill must be approved by a final committee tomorrow before heading to the assembly floor. Ridley Thomas's bill must pass two more committees before it can be voted on by the full Senate. Hannah Kim, Annenberg Radio News.
The police commission today voted to recommend that the city council not approve a proposal to limit paparazzi activities. Councilman Dennis Zine proposed the law after the LAPD had to spend $25,000 to escort Britney Spears. Looking to the weather, temperatures will be in the 50s tonight. We'll see low clouds and fog into tomorrow morning, but they'll burn off to the highs in the mid-60s and then into the 70s on Thursday. Later on Annenberg Radio News, South LA residents talk about the need for green in their community. Skim through the classified section of a university paper and you'll see an ad offering thousands of dollars for young, fertile women to be egg donors. But some are arguing that opting to become an egg donor may not be the safest decision. Lily Fowler reports.
You're listening to the music of Jessica Gray Swing. Jessica was studying at Stanford University when she called her mother with the surprising news. Her mother, Jennifer Schneider, is a doctor living in Tucson, Arizona.
She called and she said that she had decided to be an egg donor. And what did I think about it? She had read there were ads all over campus, which there still are. What I remember specifically is that I said to her, you don't have to do this for the money. She wanted to do it to exert her independence. And I said, it's fine with me. The only thing is I'm concerned is it safe?
Jessica was the ideal egg donor, tall, beautiful, healthy, multi-talented. After donating eggs the first time, egg brokers encouraged her to do it again, offering her more than twice the money. She had donated her eggs a total of three times when Jennifer received a phone call. This time, the call came not from Jessica, but from a fellow doctor.
It's interesting that he called me rather than calling her. He called me to tell me that he just got the results of the CAT scan. And the CAT scan showed she had cancer all over her abdomen. And he didn't know how to tell her. He just didn't know how to. That's why he called me. He knew I was a doctor. He didn't want to just call her up and tell her. Because he knew what it meant, just like I did, which is she was going to die.
In 2003, Jessica Gray Swing died of colon cancer. DNA testing later showed that she had no genetic predisposition to the disease. Jennifer also learned of another young egg donor who had died from the same kind of cancer. Studies she read also seemed to confirm her suspicion that a link between the hormones egg donors use and cancer may exist.
We know that taking female hormones causes a somewhat increased risk of breast cancer. This has already been shown, but the question is, does it affect the colon? The studies show that, in fact, estrogen does stimulate colon cancer cells to divide and grow.
But Jennifer can't be sure her daughter's use of hormones had anything to do with the colon cancer. That's because no one has ever studied the long-term effects of egg donation, and it's the reason Jennifer is pushing for a new congressional bill.
I want the bill to include a mandatory national egg donor registry, because if you keep track of the egg donors, that provides the possibility of doing follow-up studies. Right now, the reason there are no follow-up studies of long-term effects of egg donors is nobody knows who they are.
Jennifer isn't the sole supporter of the bill, but has traveled to Washington with a fellow advocate.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Jennifer Lall, the National Director of the Center for Bioethics and Culture.
So far, the proposed bill has gone before Congress three times. The last congressional briefing was held in March of this year.
Both Jennifer Schneider and I serve on the directors of an organization called Every Woman First, which 2 years ago now on International Women's Day launched an international campaign called Hands Off Our Ovaries. The egg donor is not seen as a patient. She is a commodity.
Hands Off Our Ovaries calls for a moratorium on egg extraction until doctors have sufficiently researched the possible side effects. The campaign has garnered close to 500 signatories from all over the world. Eliron Moore, a fertility doctor at the Center for Fertility and Gynecology in Los Angeles, says he thinks the bill is a good idea.
That would be a wonderful way of prospectively studying the outcome of egg donation. I would admit that our knowledge is somewhat limited about the long-term effects.
In addition to advocating for an egg donor registry, Jennifer continues to see patients. On quiet days, Jennifer will sometimes climb the stairs of her southwestern home to enter the room she's dedicated to her daughter.
It's too painful 4 years later, but anyway, this is the room that I made for her, pictures of her when she's older, when she's younger. I've got butterflies in all forms here on the ceiling, on there, on the windows there, in a picture. This is a painting I found, and it shows a woman who's also a butterfly, and she's going up like to heaven.
For Annenberg Radio News, this is Lily Fowler reporting.
Now back to our story about the City Council's vote for a park in South Los Angeles. But this park comes with a price tag, and that's two billboards that will be erected near the Santa Monica Freeway. Emily Henry spoke with residents today about their need for a park, and those who say it's a bad trade.
City Hall agreed to a deal today that will bring the first freeway billboard to Los Angeles. Ted Wu, president of the Coalition to Ban Billboard Blight, is upset by the decision.
That's a very, if you don't mind my language, a very dirty deal. The MTA, together with the billboard company, Clear Channel, saying, if you don't give me the billboard, let me put the billboard here, I won't let you have the park.
Residents around San Pedro and 16th Streets already have the noisy 10 freeway intersecting their neighborhood. And now they will have to contend with two 78 residents around San Pedro and 16th foot electronic billboards obscuring the cityscape. Some residents are concerned about the children at St. Pedro Street Elementary School, whose playground is shadowed by the freeway's overpass.
Maybe it's too much for the kids, maybe.
But for many residents, the deal argued today at City Hall seems a fair one, selling two giant freeway billboards in exchange for a playground.
Well, I think it's a good idea as long as it's not obstructing anything in exchange for a park. I think that would be good for the people.
There's no facilities or no playground in this neighborhood for the young kids to go to a place to socialize instead of being on the corner drinking and selling drugs. This is a drug-affected neighborhood down here. This is downtown.
Between the sprawling concrete, the fast food restaurants, and the MTA's rundown bus yard, there isn't much greenery or open space. The ambience of the neighborhood is defined by chain-link fences and the whirring of buses as they pass through this busy traffic corridor.
Do you think there are enough parks around here?
In this area? No, I don't think there's enough parks.
A park would make a difference because they give them a place where they can go, a place where they can grow at, instead of hanging out in the neighborhood.
But one resident says that building a park in the neighborhood shouldn't have to be a corporate exchange. It should be a priority.
You know, why should that be the secondary thing? The park is the most important thing because it's a place where they can go, a place they can feel safe there, instead of running around these neighborhoods. These neighborhoods are not safe.
Another contention is that billboards are dangerous for drivers because they compromise attention.
It's almost like watching TV as you drive.
You have enough obstacles around you anyway. Depending on what they put on there, you probably take your mind off of what you're doing and looking at a theater.
But with a budget deficit to contend with, the city's search for revenues may mean some compromises. Emily Henry, Anna.
You can hear more from South Los Angeles residents about the plan to build a new park by clicking on Daryl Perinata's story on our website, annenbergradio.org. Green spaces are a vital part of a community's makeup. Earlier today, I spoke with Ron Davidson, a specialist of public spaces at Cal State Northridge. He told me about a new study from the USC Center of Sustainable Cities regarding open areas in city spaces.
They have found sort of what you would expect, which is that the wealthier, more affluent, and typically wider communities are located in areas that have more park acres per person. If you go into the older, more rundown, poorer parts of town, which are much more heavily populated by African Americans and Latinos, the number of park acres per 1,000 people drops to 1 to 4.
if there was a higher ratio of green space to city block, do you think that there would be a marked difference in a crime rate or anything like that?
Well, that's a wonderful question, and I think it makes sense at a certain level to argue that having park space, which is well-maintained, is a source of local pride. I mean, that I think is a measurable thing. Whether or not you use the park, knowing that it's in your community, having a park that local kids play at is a source of pride. It's something that raises the quality of life. It does allow youthful energies to be spent. So just at a kind of gut level, I would say yes. As a geographer speaking theoretically, you have to be a lot more cautious.
Do you think that the local government spends enough time discussing the issue of green space, or do you think it's a subject that needs to be addressed more often?
I definitely think it needs to be addressed more often, but fortunately, we are living in a decade where the subject has been getting addressed more. The LA River Master Plan has come out, which foresees 50 years of investment along the LA River to bring in many, many parks. You know, that ideally spending $2 billion to bring parks down through many of these poor parts of the city. We've had Proposition K in the 90s and recent Propositions 2, which are state and local, to acquire new park space and improve them. So I think the public has shown an interest in this and a willingness to support, to a certain extent, parks. The problem is the legacy of is poor. We have very little available parkland to acquire left in the developed parts of L.A. That's just the way the city got built. It was built from the teens forward, really, in a kind of a suburban mode where you had housing tract after housing tract in those days near open space. There didn't seem to be a need for a park back in those days because this was a spacious region. It was scenic and beautiful, and no one could imagine running out of space. Eventually, however, they realized they had built these housing tracts without leaving open space, enough open space between them for parks. And to just give you a statistic on that, if you compare LA to San Francisco, about 20% of the area of San Francisco is open space. It's about 22% of San Diego, and it's only about 7% of Los Angeles.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible. When you think about how important that was to the charm of the region, that was a major draw and lure of people into Southern California, was its open space and its scenery, and we lost so much of it.
That was Ron Davidson, a professor and specialist of public spaces at Cal State Northridge. Google has teamed up with the United Nations to map and publicize the movement of refugees around the world. As of today, Internet users can download Google Earth software and see satellite images of refugee hotspots such as Darfur and Colombia. Information provided by the UN Refugee Agency explains where the refugees have come from and what problems they face. March Madness may be over, but Los Angeles Magazine has its own bracket off the basketball court. The publication put together a Sweet 16 of its favorite spots in the city. Among the attractions battling it out for the top spot, Amoeba Music in Hollywood versus Disney Hall downtown, and Pink's Hot Dog Stand versus LA's Bountiful Beaches. The results of the contest will be published in the June issue of Los Angeles Magazine. Now we check in with Kate Kogiran to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Thanks, Laura. Tonight on ATVN, General Petraeus was placed on Capitol Hill's hot seat. Hear what the presidential candidates had to say and Petraeus's recommendation to the Senate. And chaos in Hollywood. Workers from several reality shows are filing labor claims against producers. We'll have that and more. Watch us live at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision, or catch us anytime on the web at atvn.org.
Thanks, Kate. That wraps it up for us today. From all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Laura Weber.